This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, Rick Adams is here. If you can all hear my voice, I always enjoy coming on with Skype, you know, and seeing what new fiendish ideas they may have for me. And, you know, it's as predictably unpredictable as anything can be, right? Well, apparently you can hear me. Sam can hear me. And here it is, the 5th of May. And, boy, I'm telling you, as we always say, time is getting away from us, folks. It's almost half the year, 2018. Would you believe it? I know I can't. I know I'm amazed. Every day is just another day like a minute to me. So much to do, not enough time. Time has a way of encroaching upon us all. And time is running out in this age, as we know. And you know, in the book of 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul said something that we need not ever lose sight of. In chapter 6, verses 14 onward, but particularly 14, Paul tells the Corinthians, he says, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what concord or communion hath light with darkness?" Now, the higher meaning of all of that, I think, comes to us today when we think about the world in which we live today, this battle within so-called Christianity, within our own Israel of God here in America and in Europe and Australia, New Zealand, and so forth. When we see the war that is taking place, some of us do. We, I mean, those who understand perfectly what is going on. It is not a war of Islam against Christianity. It is not a war of the Shintus against Christianity or the Hindus or anybody else. It is a war really between two seed lines. And the seed line of Satan is one, and the seed line of God is the other, the Father. Now, Satan is God, God of this world. That's pretty much a given. But in reality, going beyond all of this, the apostle knew, just as David, King David, knew. He knew who the enemy of Israel was. It is they who say they are Israel and do lie and are of that synagogue of Satan. Since the birth of Cain, in the first age of this age, the Adamic age, when Adam and Eve were conceived and created in that garden, that beautiful garden. And they disobeyed God. And when the Apostle Paul speaks today of that time in which we live today, it was meant for this final generation. It wasn't just meant for his time, but it was meant so that we could be edified today. Forces of Satan and his children on the earth and God and his children. Now, there are only two churches that he found in the book of Revelation that were pleasing to God. And they were Philadelphia and Smyrna. And the others, you know, Laodicea and Pergamos and Sardis and Ephesus and Thyatira, all of these were found wanting, like King Nebuchadnezzar. They were weighed in the balance and found wanting. And God says, "I will spew them out of my mouth." What were they teaching? Were they teaching the fellowship with the ungodly and those who are not of Israel, not of God, creeping in unawares, a fellowship with Satan and his dominion? You bet they were. These churches had embraced the lie. These five churches that he condemned. And you know, it's funny because before I came here, I just spoke with an elderly woman, and I meet her just about every Saturday around this time at one of the local little places where we have a cup of coffee. And she's very sweet. She's very nice. And she told me, and I know she is Catholic, and I was Catholic, and I was Protestant. I was all of those things. I came out of the churches and got into the woods. She told me that her niece takes her to one of these Bible-believing churches down the street, of which I was a part at one time, not a member, but I did attend, and it's one of those independent Baptist churches. And she said there was one of the women in the churches that came up to her and says, "You're a Catholic. You're not going to heaven. You're going to hell." And she said to her, "Who are you to judge anyone? Who are you to make a judgment like that?" Because we were just talking about it. All those who say they are doing the will of God but are not and fall short. And we all do at some point or another. But remember, Satan himself did that. Satan himself was so blessed by God. He was God's favorite. He rose almost to the very top. And then he got puffed up. He became proud. So proud that he wanted to be as God, and now suffered eternal damnation for it, because he knew the truth, the full truth. Not like most people today who are being misled by false teachers, false preachers, and the whole world of the Kenites all around us. He knew. He made his decision, knowing full well the consequences. So when Paul speaks of that today, he's not just speaking about powers in government. He's not just speaking about the politicians and judges and bureaucrats and so on and so forth. He's talking about those crept in unawares, who have crept in to the flock, to steal the flock, to take the flock from God, and to do it through deception. Now, what is the mantra? What is the slogan of the Mossad? By way of deception, we do make war. And how else can you make war but in the mind? Psychological war, isn't it? It's a conditioning of the mind that is so deceptive, but so alluring, so appealing, that you wouldn't know the truth from a lie if you didn't have some protection, some study in the Word of God. And this lady is so nice, this woman that I see, and her name is Anne. And, you know, she does attend Catholic. And she's been going to these so-called Bible study messages every Wednesday evening. And she reached the point where now she's offended because somebody said she wasn't saved, quote unquote, and she wasn't going to heaven. She was headed for hell. And I said to her, you know, that is an offense because they're not only playing God, but they're also judging all the souls that they come in contact with, but not knowing who they are themselves and not willing to fess up. And I said to her, isn't it interesting that they're willing to condemn all the Catholics, and some of the Catholics are willing to condemn the Protestants, but none of them is condemning those who say they are Jews or Judah or Israel and are not, but do lie and are of the synagogue of Satan? And she said, yes, that is very interesting. And I said, think about that. They're divided amongst themselves, fighting each other, even killing each other for the benefit of those who killed the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's something wrong with that picture, I said. I don't like that picture. And it's an evil picture. But you know what? I dare say that 99 and 99 100% of these so-called Bible-believing churches who are waiting for a rapture, and who are believing that the Jews are part of Israel, as they call them, they're in that direction. 99% of them and counting. Locked and loaded. And they're willing to condemn you, and they don't even know your heart. They don't know what's in your heart. They don't know what you really believe in Jesus and have repented to God in the name of Jesus. And yet they're condemning you, but they're in bed with the sons and daughters of Cain. Now, I don't know about you, but I do find that quite offensive, biblical, moral, spiritual. So as an opening word, give heed to the Apostle Paul. For he was one of them who condemned and killed the Christians, the early Christians from within Israel. And he was struck down on the road to Damascus. And he lost about 70% of his vision and never recovered. God never healed him. To keep him humble, he was taken up to heaven on a heavenly voyage with the Lord. Came down a very humble man from a proud, self-righteous Pharisee type. Because his religion was of the Pharisees, you see. And that's what the religion today of most of these churches is, the Pharisees. So don't judge unless ye be willing to be judged. I agreed with her fully, and, you know, I can honestly say God bless you to her. Folks, this is a time in which we need to separate the men from the boys, the women from the little children. We need to look clearly now, as time grows even shorter by the week, as to what we are facing in America and in the world today. We are facing an enemy. It sort of reminds me of JFK's speech. An enemy that operates by night, by day. It operates by stealth. It operates spiritually, economically, politically, physically, geopolitically, in every sense possible, to win the world over to its evil New World Order philosophy. But it poses as godly. You see, because even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. He doesn't come with a pitchfork and horns. No, he comes as Jesus. He comes as God. Just remember, in these days ahead, when the false Messiah, the fake Jesus, the Antichrist, instead of Christ come, that he is going to appear in Jerusalem. He is going to appear as who? As the Christ. Where? In Jerusalem. That's God's city. Jerusalem is the city of peace, the city of God. Is it a city of peace today? Is it? I think not. We're going to play for you some videos today. Art will be coming on a little in the second hour, but I wanted to have a little bit of give and take today, and a little bit of my thoughts, because I know some of you have said the more open the forum, the better it is, and thoughts that need to be expressed. Two of the most important things I think that we should pay attention to, really the first is right there in the scripture, unequivocally. No mistaking it, no second guessing it. It is to watch world events and to watch Jerusalem as the bellwether of all end time prophecies. Now, one of the things in Matthew 24 we read of the seven things that will indicate the end of time in this age, the 70-year generation, certainly is an indication of the physical attributes of the earth. Among them, earthquakes all across the globe in incredible places that you never thought of. That's one. And we're seeing now these volcanic eruptions just yesterday reported in Hawaii. Incredible fireworks display. People dislocated, people fleeing from their homes, fleeing for their lives. We're seeing it in Italy, central Italy. We're seeing it in other parts of Europe. We're seeing earthquakes as well as volcanic eruptions with earthquakes accompanied. We're seeing incredible events metaphysically taking place on the earth as foretold in Revelation as well. Signs from the heavens and signs on the earth itself when God is shaking the whole foundation of this earth age. He's sending his warning that time is a running out and we'd better pay heed. But you see, most people are caught unawares because they're not paying attention to his word. They really don't even know how to find his word if they're going to one of these transliterated versions of the Bible, one of these newer versions, perversions, I call them. So if they start reading it and they're reading false script, what good is it to begin with? I don't know. They're better off not knowing, perhaps. Perhaps. But to quote one verse here and one verse there, John 3:16, and so on and so forth, is not enough. Jesus said, come to know me, get to know me. I come in the volume of the book, the whole book, not part of it. That's what I encounter from day to day. There's a gentleman that I encounter in one of the facilities that I visit, generally in the mornings, and he's a member of the same church, by the way. He's a member of the same church that this woman has been invited to by her niece. And he's praising Israel, and he's praising all of the marvelous things that they have done. And he's waiting for the rapture. And he's warning of all those apostates out there who don't know God, who don't know his God, and don't know the revelations. Because, see, they have these symposiums at his church. And they have these Bible-believing prophecy experts come in and talk about the rapture that's coming. Any moment, he could be driving his car and just taken up in the air, and everybody else left behind, and collisions and accidents and everything else will happen. And he believes that those who call themselves Jews and are not but do lie, he believes they are Israel. He believes that they are the apple of God's eye. And you know what? I don't really talk to him much anymore. Not because I'm trying to be mean, and sometimes I am, I admit. I fall short of it. But you know what? I've had it. It's too late in the game to be wasting time with people who really don't have basic comeuppance. They don't have basic understanding. And if they got that wrong, who is God and who are his children? And who is the other guy and who are his children? And why are they fighting? And what is this whole world all about? Guess what? I'm going in the other direction. When they went off to war in World War One and Two, I would like to think, because I wasn't there, but I would like to think I would have the brains to know better and to be going in the other direction for peace, not war. Now they're talking about peace, peace in Korea, peace in Asia, except, of course, with Iran. That's a whole nother little nutcake issue. But then, too, they will proclaim peace worldwide when Satan comes, peace and safety. I want to go to war. I want to go to war with the synagogue of Satan. And I am, because I know they watch me. I know they monitor me. I know they monitor many of you, because they don't want to miss a trick. They'd like to be able to say they know who you are, what you do, what you say, who you're in touch with, where and who has the guns, and so on and so forth. But see, they're not smart enough, ultimately, right, to know that they too are being watched. They are being watched by a power that is far superior to all of their eavesdropping and telecommunications program. They don't know that. They don't believe it. Because they don't believe in the God. They believe in their God. Now, Jesus made that clear when he said to them, he said, he who hateth me hateth my Father also, which means you really hate the Father. They hate God. Oh, but they're rabbis. Oh, but they're teachers. Oh, but they say they believe in God and peace and love and joy and so on. Really? Well, let's take a look. Look at what they actually say about Jesus, the Son of God, in their holy book. And then you'll understand why Satan does masquerade. He does appear as an angel of light. Because they are like us. They appear like us. They act like us. They like ball games like us. They like movies like us. They like all the things that we like. They don't come with horns on their head and pitchforks in their hand. No. They want to blend in. And that's what Jesus said. Blend in. And on that day of judgment, I will take the tares from the wheat. And if they're the tares at that point, guess what? You know where they go? Into that very fiery furnace that they call a Holocaust. This one will not be imaginary. It will not be fake. It will not be a false oven. It will be a real oven. Let's take a break, folks. I have some video to play for you on the audio line, so stay tuned. Gun control is the next subject that we need to talk about at this critical time. Rick Adams, Uncensored.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, in the second quarter of this hour, Rick Adams Uncensored, and we are going to give you a little bit of audio, which is most important at this critical time. You know, the NRA is having its big convention right now, and of course, Mr. Trump addressing the forum with the usual pumpkin-faced oratorial skills that he has, boasting of his support for the Second Amendment as president. Even though he's waffled on the issue, and now the media are screaming about him and waffling, and who is he owned by, that terrible, sinister foreign lobby, the NRA, or is he representing the people in their clamor for some kind of sensible gun control? Well, he's at the podium, and Pence at the podium. Quite frankly, I don't pay attention to what they say. I watch what they do. But more importantly, I am more concerned about the membership drive of the NRA and that it not be political and not be involved in any partisanship, because it's not a partisan issue. It's strictly an American issue. Here in America, we have a unique Bill of Rights, and the Bill of Rights contains the Second Amendment, which is basically a synopsis of the right to self-preservation, not merely self-preservation from any hoodlum or would-be killer on the street, but self-preservation from the encroaching powers of big government. That kind of kingdom and king dictatorship, as we would say, that they escaped from the European Rothschild banking system. Today, that's exactly what it's supposed to represent, now more than ever. Here we are approaching Independence Day, and we find we are anything but independent. We are more interdependent than ever before. We are more, unfortunately, statist and authoritarian than ever before. So now we have a replication of the very scenario, only worse than it was during the time of King George. And it's pretty obvious to anybody who really knows what freedom's all about. Now, to those who don't, of course, it's a bogus issue. And the radical right wing conjures up all these images of an all-powerful government that will take away their homes, their property, their lives, and just take them off to a FEMA camp. Well, it can happen here, they assure us. It ain't going to happen. And if it did, we would be powerless to stop it, even with the guns that we have. So let's just all settle into bed, put the blankets over us, and pronounce the postmortem. Let's just all accept the inevitable. And that's the typical fatalistic, Zionistic, statist, authoritarian governmental philosophy of the collectivists and the communitarians. But we know better. We know that in that war of independence, it came down to Lexington and Concord, Massachusetts. Those were the communities where the guns were stored. That's where the British Army, the Crown, was seeking to disarm and take away the liberty of the early colonists. The key was arms, firearm. The word firearm is just meaning an extension of your arm, your physical arm. That's all it literally means. It's called the equalizer, the great equalizer. So this clip that I want to play coming up in just a moment, and perhaps we'll just postpone it until right after the next break, is so important because we have a Cuban exile who spoke about 3 years ago before Oregon's legislature, who tried to pound some sense into those who were contemplating the kinds of draconian gun laws then that we see proposed now. And I think it is so imperative that you listen to his words succinctly and sincerely out of the heart from this man's lips. So we're going to take that quick break again right now. We'll have plenty of time for more discussion as we go along because we have quite a full boat today, a full menu. So we got a lot of things to catch up on and discuss, and certainly we'll encourage your participation. Don't forget, support us, republicbroadcasting.org. By the way, the new program I've done, my TV show is up on YouTube today. It is about gun control, one of several that are coming. That one on gun control is appearing now. All right, so let's take that break. We'll come back, and then we will play the first clip by this Martinez, who is a Cuban exile, and he will tell you what gun control really means under communism, under totalitarianism, and socialism. We'll be right back, folks. Rick Adams, Uncensored.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! Huh. For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
The New World Order Thought Police are on the run because Rick Adams is back on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
All righty. Hey, we are here on this Saturday afternoon, Rick Adams Uncensored. Right now, I want to share with you this most effective clip of a most sincere, honest man who knows from firsthand experience what gun control does to his country, that is his former country, Mr. Martinez in Oregon before the legislature. Let's see if we can bring that up now.
Manuel Martinez, also known as Manny Martinez. I agree with my two predecessors here, but I have another issue here, which is the most important thing. Okay? This bill is in step forward, close to gun control, period, to disarm the American people, period. What I'm interested in know, what is behind this? They come here in those dog and pony show and try that they're going to protect people. You're going to protect nobody. I want to know what is behind it. Do you know what is behind it? The problem that we have in this country with this Marxism. Marxism is not coming. Marxism is here. Marxism has been in this country for quite a while. And the politicians allow that because they are ignorant or they are part of the plot. Don't sell me this. A very powerful man tried to sell me this 50-something years ago. I didn't buy it. Do you think you're going to buy it? Do you think I'm going to buy it now? After pushing 80 years? This is Marxism, plain and clear. With everything, communism, socialism, humanism, I heard that too in my native country. They put this dog and pony show saying, hey, we're going to protect you. No, what they did was enslave a country. They destroyed the country in the same way that this country is going to be destroyed if we continue in this round. I tell you what you're trying to do, sir. This is what you're selling here. This is what you're selling here. You are not selling protection. You don't care about if we die or leave. This is what you're selling. This is what they're selling here.
We'll have to clear those individuals.
You want
out.
Me to continue? Yeah, or you want me to quit? No, are you going to silence me?
No, you continue. You have your time. It's the outburst.
A very powerful man couldn't silence me, put me in chain. But my spirit was never. You can tell me anything you want. I am a free man. I become from a free people. From a free country, from a free family. I get to this country due to liberty, to freedom. This country opened its arm when I needed it, when my life was in jeopardy. For the only reason that they refused to accept communism, that they refused to accept subjugation. You want me to continue? Come on. Tell me I'm wrong. I've been there when you probably start learning how to walk. I was there. I was when I saw the assassinations. The people who were killed for free. And you're telling this to the people? Here and the governor of this state come here and sit up, say no. We need registration. No, my friend. No, my friend. You don't sell this to me. You sell this to the people who do not have self-respect, self-determination, and they are weak, and they love to be subjugated. And be dependent on the government. You don't sell that to me, sir. You don't sell this bill to the free men and women of this country. This is a treason. This is an assault to the dream of the fathers. They didn't die for this. I can be here for years talking about what happened, what you people think to this. You don't know anything. You don't know what freedom is. You don't know when there's a man is taken in the firing squad and take the blood out of their veins because they want to be free. Ask the Hungarians, the Czechoslovakians, the Polish people, the Chinese, the Russians, the Cubans. This is what you're selling. Subjugation. Let's conclude my testimony, and I don't take any questions.
All right, Mr. Reed.
All right. Well, that's the clip, folks, and I think you will admit, as I have, I was so moved by somebody of this man's stature, somebody with courage, determination, trembling in his voice because he was there. You remember that old Edward R. Murrow TV show in the 50s? You are there. Well, let me tell you, this is being there. This is real, folks. This is the testimony of a man who lived it, who saw it perfectly and personally. The children being taken away from their parents, a knock at the door in the middle of the night. But no, it can never happen. We don't want that here. All we want is to have safe schools for our kids. Well, then fine. Let's start by bringing God back in the school. Oh, no, we can't have that. Why not? Because that would violate the Constitution. Where? In the First Amendment. Where? In the First Amendment. Well, it's there. It's there. It's somewhere in the First Amendment. We should have separation of church and state, meaning God and society, not church and state. Folks, this is what happened in communist Cuba. Just so happens, I read this morning that in Berlin, a larger-than-life statue of communist philosopher Karl Marx will soon be unveiled on the 200th anniversary of his birth, according to the media in Western Germany. Now, folks, I don't know of anyone who's allowed to celebrate the birth or death of Hitler, regardless of whether he was true or a phony. That's not the point. The point is they've expunged any reference to him from out of that country. And yet Karl Marx, who was the father of the greatest mass-murdering genocidal philosophy on the face of the earth in this earth age, is honored with the unveiling of this huge, larger-than-life bust? Is there something wrong with this picture? Beam me up, Scotty. There is no intelligent life on this planet. In Castro's Cuba, what did they do? Castro's little henchmen would come along to a neighborhood, and they would tell the children, now come out, it's a nice hot day. Do you want a lemonade? Do you want an ice cream? Kids would say yes. Now, they would say, ask God for that ice cream cone. And invariably, no ice cream cone appeared. They asked again, no ice cream cone appeared. And then the henchman said, now ask Father Castro. He is God. Ask Castro and the state for the ice cream. And guess what? The ice cream cones appeared. You talk about evil and corruption of the mind away from God to Satan, and you think God is happy with in the fact that we betrayed Cuba under Eisenhower in 1959 to communism, to slaughter, to genocide, the likes of which Fulgenico Batista could never even imagine, the former dictator. But he enacted gun control too, paving the way for communism to make its ugly head rear itself. Spielberg, the famed Spielberg and his crazy nutcake movies, Schneider's List, or whatever, I don't even remember the name. But anyway, here's a guy who would never make a movie. He's admitted, critical of communism. In fact, he loves Castro's Cuba. In fact, he adores Mao Zedong's Red China, a dictatorship that came to power because of American imperialism and interventionism in World War II, and saw the slaughter over decades of nearly 75 to 100 million people killed, as we saw last week and we heard last week. Is there something wrong with this picture? Am I coming through out there? I know my audience is intelligent. When you talk to other audiences or listen to them on local yokel talk radio stations or read their nostrums in printed form in the local paper, you know some of them are just plain not too well in the head, yes. And others, well, they're trolls. I understand that. They're paid operatives. I don't know which are which. Sometimes they're pretty obvious. Sometimes they're not. The point of the matter is that the great unwashed American public doesn't know what's coming. Judgment is coming. And America is going to have some big bumps in the road very shortly. And when they find themselves with no way to defend themselves and their families with the kinds of guns they need, they're going to be full prey, pardon the pun, to support anything and everything that escorts them to peace and safety. In fact, they're going to embrace it. Why? Because they don't want violence and terror in their streets, a la the fraud of the Boston Marathon bombing drill. They don't want a Sandy Hook hoax. They don't want a Parkland shoot. By the way, another sheriff now who is a part of that Parkland shoot, one of the deputies apparently has passed on, one of a couple, from what I understand, met with misfortune. So all of this is unraveling now, and the synagogue of Satan is behind all of it. They're taking advantage of the great void in mental astuteness on the part of true American Israel here today. So they might enslave us. They might destroy us and subdue us just in time for their Savior to come and worship, make you worship at his feet in the city of Antichrist, the city of Jerusalem. Right now they're planning that eventuality. We'll talk about that more in the second hour. Right now, if we can, before the break, we'll play a part of the next clip, which shows you what happened to German women the end of World War II. In fact, right now, let's see if we can play a portion of the rape of German women and what happened at the end of World War II, the communist enslavement.
In April 1945, Christa Ronke was living with her mother in Berlin. She was 15 years old.
And when the first Russians came, the combat troops, they came in and wanted to see everything. Asked about weapons and soldiers, looked at everything closely, didn't find anything, and were very friendly, and then just left. And then the next lot arrived. The next one took me outside straight away. My mother wanted to throw herself in front of me, but she was pushed back. And then they took me upstairs, and as I tried to defend myself, he showed me his gun. And then, when I came back down, I was, well, shocked, and but I was just happy that I was still alive.
In the Soviet army, it was said, don't make so much fuss about this raping. The German woman in reality wanted.
The drunk ones were the worst. They said, woman, come. They said it in German. Frau, komm, in German.
So I can only tell you what I witnessed. It did happen that women, when they saw a Red Army soldier, began to undress. They were so shocked that they thought this has to be. And such things happened. But this is, of course, it's nothing to do with that they wanted. But they were completely, it was a hopeless situation.
Nobody knows the precise figures. But one estimate was that around 100,000 women were raped by the Soviet army in Berlin.
You couldn't defend yourself. We were the booty, because we had done a lot to the Russians during the war. A lot of bad things, and the hatred of the Russians was very great. We were the prize. It was always like that.
German women were raped in their thousands throughout the country. And not just by Russians. Other Allied soldiers were serial rapists too. It's still a taboo subject. Some of the worst cases were perpetrated by the Free French Army near Stuttgart in southwest Germany.
It was a steamroller of blood and horror and misery that can only be compared to the 30 Years' War.
Vergleichen kann.
In 1945, Erhard Ellwanger was a young army doctor at this castle near Stuttgart. It had been converted into an emergency hospital and dealt with hundreds of local rape victims of the French.
You just felt resigned, in despair, and frightened. And the tragedy is that lots of women and girls were raped, mostly by troops from the French colonies. Many women just cried for days. Also, young girls, these were 14-year-old girls, 13, 14, 15, 16-year-old girls. But then most of all, the ones who were a bit older, who already had boyfriends, who were newly married, they were in despair, of course, in absolute despair.
The women of Germany felt completely abandoned.
At that time, I used to write my diary every day. I don't know why. I had to write everything down. I didn't have any close friends I could talk to. My mother was very nice, but she too had experienced the worst, and for her it was particularly bad.
About 6 to 8 weeks later, a lot of women and girls realized that in addition to the calamity of rape, they had also become pregnant. And now, they just didn't know what to do.
Many women committed suicide. Others tried to get rid of the baby themselves. Although abortion was still strictly illegal in Germany, the doctors decided it was their duty to help.
There was no anesthetic, of course. And if there were already 2 to 3 month old fetuses there, then that used to be very difficult indeed.
Okay, we're all set there. We just paused. We do have another clip that will relate to Gaza next. That comes, interestingly enough, from a couple of Kenites who actually do exhibit a tinge of conscience. So we're going to play that coming up. I want you to be very mindful today of what we're doing. It shows a pattern. It's very important for you to spread the word, folks. Rick Adams, Uncensored. We will return.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
right, folks, we are back now. I want to next play for you a clip, which is a clip from an interview done actually around 3 years ago, 2015, on a Jewish television program with one of those authors who actually is Jewish, who has been to Palestine and Gaza, and he's come up with some very interesting conclusions about what he called Israeli fascism, no hope for change. And right now, that interview is going to be given to you by audio. Let's listen in for a few moments.
Well, the siege on Gaza no doubt plays a role in the anger throughout all of Palestine. Max, you were on the ground and you outlined some harrowing details in your book about what you found. Outline the devastation that took place during last year's 51-day war.
I immediately, as soon as I entered Gaza, went to Shujaiya, which was you couldn't really call it a neighborhood. It's more like an entire city east of Gaza City that had been wiped off the map by Israeli artillery and pretty much every mode of destruction available to the Israelis. Every house I went to there, they weren't really houses, they were ruins of homes. And speaking to elderly women and entire families about having their family members summarily executed in front of them, interviewing paramedics who found a woman, 80-year-old woman in a chicken coop who had hid there for 8 days living off of chicken feed, pulling dead families, entire families out of homes and finding that they couldn't pull them out because their limbs would fall off and having to bring in bulldozers to bulldoze bodies into mass graves, interviewing the Rujela family about fleeing tank fire and leaving their severely disabled daughter on the road in her wheelchair and then finding her in her wheelchair a week later riddled with bullets. These kind of stories were what I heard day after day. I mean, everywhere I went, I was walking through a real-life horror film, and this was the Palestinian experience in Gaza for 51 days. It was like a sequel to the movie Saw. How do you deal with that psychologically? That's the question we have to ask now, because the humanitarian situation is worse than it's ever been in history. The United Nations Relief Works Agency predicted that Gaza would be uninhabitable by 2020, and it's currently uninhabitable. People are trapped there. Most can't leave. And who are the Jewish Israelis, the 300,000 who participated in this operation? How do they think? Netanyahu was reelected in a surprise to a lot of Americans after Operation Protective Edge. You have to go into a very right-wing eliminationist mindset in order to justify what you did, and it's Netanyahu is able to cater to that.
All right, we pause here for the midway break. We'll take that, come back, take your calls, and Art will be joining us as well. So much more that we will get to along these lines and other issues. Stay tuned, folks. Rick Adams, Uncensored.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. May 5th is the last day you will hear this offer on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
You're listening to the